I will continue to remind you that this is God's word, and every time we read it is a holy time, and it is a special and significant time because it is the authoritative, inerrant, infallible word of God. Today, I'm going to be reading from a different version. Normally, I read from the New Revised Standard Version. Today, I'm reading from what's known as the Message. Eugene Peterson wrote a version of this Bible years ago called the Message. So I'm going to invite you now to stand as we hear God's word for us for today and for this week and for our lives. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. These are the words of Jesus. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. My fervent prayer for you is that God will give you a peaceful heart. And I suppose the reason that's a prayer for me is because all of us spend far too much time not at peace. I'm aware that on any given Sunday, or any time for that matter, people will come through these doors with broken hearts, broken spirits, anxious hearts, fearful hearts. And you really can't tell it from the outside. If a person's hurting on the inside, they can dress up very nice on the outside. They're dressed well. They look well put together. But somewhere in the past, either the immediate or the recent past, something has happened to them that's unsettled them, and they're not at peace. So if you came to church this morning with some burden on your heart, if you came to church today with something that is weighing on your mind, some kind of distraction, if something is weighing on you heavily, I want to invite you for the next few minutes to lay that aside. I want to invite you to let God speak directly to you and to let God give you in these moments a peaceful heart. And in a minute, you're going to understand why that's important. The passage I read for you this morning is simply the words of Jesus. Great passage. Great words. I hope you watched them, but also hope you took them in. The reason the words are so profound is they resonate with us. They touch us right where we live. They speak to us about the human condition. These words of Jesus offer to us a remedy for the problems we have, and specifically the problem of no peace. So I want to share with you this just for a few minutes this morning, some things that jump out of this passage. And the reason I want to share these with you again is because many, many people, if not the vast majority of people, who are sitting in pews and churches or seats in churches like this all over the place are all vogue on the outside, but all vague on the inside. They're broken. There's stuff going on. And people sometimes just want a little peace. So I want to share with you some thoughts. The first thought I want to share with you this morning is the pace we keep in the race of life. Have you noticed life is crazy? Jesus says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? We do realize that what Jesus wants with us is a relationship, right? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? That's the kind of life people are living every single day. Richard Foster wrote a book years ago entitled The Celebration of Discipline. And in that book, he says, our adversary majors in three things: hurry, noise, and crowds. When our enemy wants to get to us and capture us, hurry is one of the principal ways he does it. And yet, the pace of life is such that it's very difficult for us to do that, to not be in a hurry. Some of it has to do with schedules. Everybody seems to have a schedule these days. Children have schedules these days. Families can't get together because of this or that or this or that and all these activities. And so what used to happen with some regularity seldom happens anymore. Does anybody in this room remember a time when families would sit down and eat together? For those of you who didn't raise your hand, it really did used to happen. I suspect there are some people here today who can remember very well sitting down and how valuable those memories are and how formative those experiences of life were. Another thing that has to do with the pace of life is caught up in a word that didn't even exist 25 years ago. The word multitasking. Multitasking. You see, it's not only unacceptable to do nothing, it's barely acceptable to do just one thing these days. I was at a traffic light last week. Interesting things happen at traffic lights. I just want to say that. I was at a traffic light last week. I'm sitting there, and I look over at the car in the next lane to me. There's a young woman. It's about, I don't know, about 8 o'clock in the morning. She's on her way to work, I surmise. She's sitting there at the red light. She's putting on her makeup. Nothing unusual about that. It happens. Then I'm watching. She reaches over, and she takes a bite of her biscuit. And then she takes a sip of her coffee, and then her mouth is moving, so she's also talking on her cell phone. She's eating breakfast, she's putting on her makeup, she's driving, she's multitasking. Another thing that has to do with the pace of life today has to do with the word choices. Years ago, there were far less choices. Today, we have all kinds of choices. We are inundated by choices. I rarely do this, I promise. I rarely do this, but about a year ago, I went into a Starbucks one morning, and I was meeting a friend there, and we were going to just have some conversation anyway. And I was standing in line there at the Starbucks behind a guy. He gets to the counter, and the lady says to him, what can I start for you? And he says, and here's how the exchange went, okay? He says, I want a cinnamon roll and coffee. And she says, do you want your cinnamon roll iced or plain? Iced. Do you want it cold or hot? Hot. Do you want your coffee decaf or regular? Regular. Do you want it in a mug or do you want it to go? I'd like it in a mug. Do you want large or small? Large, please. Do you want room for milk or no milk? Room for milk. Do you want whole milk or 2% milk? And I'm standing there and I'm thinking to myself, self, this is just too good to pass up. So I got out of line, I went out to my car, and I wrote down that exchange because I forget stuff sometimes. The pace of life is rapid. The schedules we keep are packed. The choices we have today are inundating. I like what Laurie Beth Jones wrote about Jesus. Laurie Beth Jones wrote a book entitled Jesus CEO, and she describes the leadership style of Jesus and how Jesus modeled leadership, and she says, Jesus guarded his energy. And we need to learn to do that too. Do you know anybody who has difficulty putting boundaries around themselves? They can't say no. They can't say no. And so they go and they go and they go and they go and then they drop. You know anybody like that? Jesus guarded his energy. He protected his energy. The pace of life is crazy. We need to just acknowledge that. Let's look next at the price we pay for the pace we move. The short answer to the price we pay for the pace we move is we have no peace. There's no peace in our lives, and that manifests itself in a variety of ways. One of the ways no peace in your life manifests itself is through fatigue, weariness. I see people and I talk to people, and folks are worn out, bone weary, tired. That's true for business people. That's true for stay-at-home moms. It's true for teenagers. That's true for... We are a tired culture. Another price we pay for the pace we move is what I call over-the-top anxiety. People today are stressed out. People today are tense. And some of them are so tense that if they don't do something about it, they're going to be past tense. The stress level of people today is off the charts. Have you ever stopped to think about what it would be like if suddenly nobody had to go to the doctor or to the hospital or take medication for anything that did not have its roots in an out of control, out of balance life? You ever thought about that? There'd be a lot less medication taken. Billions of dollars would be saved. People are treated for stress, which is linked to anxiety, which is linked to a lack of peace, because we are living in a crazy time. Another thing that's happening in our culture today is anger. People are angry. Road rage. What is road rage? Road rage is when somebody in a machine has a short fuse and somebody does something to light their fuse. That's road rage. We live in a culture of anger and rage. Another price that we pay for the pace we move is not only no peace, but it's alienation. If you ask the average person what's most important to them, they'll tell you, my family. But do you realize the disconnect between what you say and how you live? Do you realize how many families get sacrificed on the altar of success? Do you get it that families are getting alienated from each other because they just don't see each other anymore. We are a busy, busy people. So we pay a price. We pay it physically and emotionally and relationally. I'm going to say something here, and I want to make sure you get it. When the Lord God Almighty created you, He created you as one entity. You are body, mind, and spirit. And it's all encapsulated into one. Now listen carefully. When one part isn't doing well, the other parts catch the disease. Would you believe me if I told you that sometimes the reason people are physically sick is because they are emotionally stressed? Would you believe me if I told you that sometimes the reason people have stomach issues and all kinds of issues is because of the craziness of life? The body, mind, and spirit are connected by God Almighty. And when one part isn't doing well, the other parts are going to catch the disease. So I'll ask the question again. How are you regulating your life? This is Labor Day weekend, and tomorrow's Labor Day, and tomorrow is the day we celebrate work by not working. That's what it is. We celebrate work by not working. And there are some times when people will walk out of the sanctuary and they'll say, "Boy, you said something today that really spoke to me." There are some times, my father used to say, he would say, "When I'm pointing my finger at you, you need to realize there are three pointing right back at me." I need a message like this today. Because I need to remember, you know, some people say, "I'd rather burn out than rust out." How about last out? How about addressing the issues that are impacting you and impacting your family? So there's the pace we move, there's the lack of peace in our lives. But thirdly, Jesus offers us a prescription. There are three things in the passage that he addresses. I want to share them with you. The first is rest. "I'll show you how to take a real rest," Jesus said. The Bible speaks to the need of rest, doesn't it? There are 10 non-negotiable commandments. And would you believe me if I told you one of them had to do with rest? Remember a Sabbath and keep it holy. And some people have wondered, why would God put "remember a Sabbath and keep it holy"? 6 days the Lord did his work, but on the seventh day he rested. Did he rest because he was tired? Did he rest because he was worn out? No, the scripture teaches us that we need to learn to rest. The second thing is learning worthy priorities. Very often in our lives, what's the loudest thing gets the most attention, doesn't it? What's hollering at, what's yelling at us, what's screaming for our attention, that's what gets our time. We need to be very careful to realize not everything that screams emergency is an emergency. We need to be very careful to realize in our lives that everything that demands our attention isn't worthy of it at the moment. Take a real rest, Jesus said. "I'll teach you how to do that," Jesus said. And then It wasn't mentioned in the passage today, but the passage I read for you, if you translate it into other passages, it says, take my yoke upon you. Have you ever heard that? Take my yoke upon you. Do you know what a yoke does? It's a symbol for heavy labor. And I had somebody show me not long ago a log ox yoke. A log ox yoke was used when oxen were trying to get logs out of swamps. And those logs were heavy, and those oxen would be yoked together, and they would pull all those logs out of that swamp. They would just be pulling. Take my yoke upon you, says Jesus. Learn to work with me. My friends, if you get nothing else out of today's message, get this. What God wants us to learn is to distinguish between success and significance. Is what you're doing, is it significant enough for the time it's taking in your life? I guess the reason I feel the need to talk about this is because it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And I just want to ask you today, what are you doing about this? I think I've told you once or twice already. I have three boys. One is 31, one is 28, and one is 17. And I remember all those years, and I look back on those years, and I can say to myself now, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done this. I just want to ask you to choose to live life with no regrets. The people you love, the people you say are important to you. We're not promised anything, are we? Let them know that and show that to them. Let them know how much they mean to you. I'm a country music fan. I'm not a good singer, but I like country music. So I'll get in my car with the windows rolled up and I'll sing country music. And one of my favorite performers of all time is a guy named Garth Brooks. And Garth Brooks wrote a song entitled, If Tomorrow Never Comes. He doesn't reference the Bible in there, but it's a biblical thought, isn't it? If tomorrow never comes. Tell that someone that you love just what you're thinking of, if tomorrow never comes. I got a call yesterday afternoon, 3 o'clock or something like that. I got a call that my Uncle Bill had died. And my Uncle Bill is my Uncle Grand's brother, and of course my dad. My Uncle Bill passed away in Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, Florida is a long way from Pensacola. But on a rainy Thursday morning, about a month or so ago now, I got in my car. And I took off down Interstate 10. Oh, by the way, it seems like you go forever. I took off down Interstate 10, and I got to visit with them a little while. Because it was important to try and not have any regrets. And if I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to talk to you about stuff like this, You better walk some of the walk. Make sure the things that are important to you are getting the attention they deserve. if tomorrow never comes? Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for reminding us today that Jesus invites us to walk with him. And as he invites us to walk with him, he will teach us the rhythms of grace. And today, oh God, we pray that you would give us the courage to look closely at our own lives and to take inventory of our own lives. Keep us aware, dear God, that the greatest gift we can give ourselves is no regrets. No regrets. Help us to do that. And help us to take that seriously, especially if tomorrow never comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.